to the Dispensational Bible Church, where we're studying the whole Bible, Bible's Own Way, and we are excited for another day of grace. Excited that you are here with us today, and those that are listening to our website, we thank you for tuning in. We thank you for the gifts and the messages that you send us, prayer requests, and also we just like for you to come and visit us when you can. Many of people's asked, where's the video? Where's your smiling face and all that stuff? It's coming back. So I was going to start back today, but we're getting the messages out anyway. So you're getting what we would be doing on video. So just don't give up on us. It's coming back. But we're going to be singing Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, number 20, in your booklet here. And let me get this going. Sing all three. Genesis chapter 5, we're in lesson 36 if you're following along. Get Genesis chapter 5, Hebrews chapter 11, and John chapter 3, and 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we'll get there. But Genesis chapter 5, where we left off last week was talking about Enoch, and chapter 5, verse 25 says, "And Methuselah lived 187 years and begot Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years, and he begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died." When Methuselah died, what happened after that?
The flood
came.
One week.
and so, you know, God Almighty gave Enoch, and we talked about this last lesson, a revelation for his day. And Enoch was a preacher about the judgment of Almighty God. He's going to talk about what's coming and the delay to judgment. Jude 14 says, "And Enoch also, the seventh of Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them that are ungodly deeds, their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and all that their hard speeches were ungodly sinners has spoken against them." Wonder what kind of society was going on then. From the time Adam and Cain, remember we were talking about the way of Cain, what's going on? From Cain to here, what kind of society is going ungodly on? See how many times he mentioned ungodly? There's some ungodly things going on. They wasn't following the God of Adam. They wasn't following God, the Creator. They was following the way of Cain. And you get the idea that there's somebody that was ungodly in Enoch day. Now, today's different. There's no ungodly people out there. There's no ungodly speeches. There are ungodly things, deeds. There's no ungodly things, sinners. There's no ungodliness going on today. No, not at all. So we don't have to worry about that. Because God's not going to flood the earth again. You know that, don't you? So, hey, you're saved. So what do you worry about? You know what you worry about. What you worry about. But the thing is, every other word that what came out of the mouth was ungodly. Enoch prophesied of the judgment and wrath of Almighty God that was going to come upon the ungodliness. So would you think Enoch had a message? Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was talking about some things. Hey, but how long the Methuselah is? We're getting that right.
69 years.
So about the delay of the judgment demonstrated in the presence of his boy Methuselah. When Methuselah was born, this is what's going to happen. And you know, we kid around a little bit. We want Tom to live forever, don't we, Dr. Barn? You know, he may live 970 years. But the thing is, the day that he was born and the day that he was died, that's going to be the judgment coming on this earth. And look at Hebrews chapter 11. I told you to turn there. Verse 5. God had given Enoch a special revelation about his coming wrath and about the delay in his wrath. The delay represented by Methuselah's living. But he also got another revelation. Verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, but was not found, because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he what?
Pleased
God. Now let me ask you something. How many of you guys out there, including myself, please God? Enoch did. And Enoch knew that as long as Methuselah was alive, the flood would not come. God's long-suffering, here's another time of long-suffering, was waiting in the days of Noah. And as long as Methuselah lived, that demonstrated the long-suffering of God, the waiting, suffering long. Is God long-suffering today? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And this is why the man is the longest man ever to live. And the long-suffering of God just patiently waiting, outliving every man. So, but he also got a revelation about his own escape, how he's going to get out of here. And he's going to be caught out, caught up. He was not going to see the judgment to come. Do you know who the shortest man who lived in Genesis chapter 5 is? Out of all those people that we've been reading about, such and such lived 800 some years. Such and such lived?
Enoch.
Enoch, you know how long he lived? 365 days. Do you know how many days that there is in a year? Mm-hmm. 360 days. He lived 1 year for every day. He lived one complete cycle, then God took him. And Hebrews, when I mentioned Hebrews chapter 11, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, but was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. There are only two men in the Bible of whom it says they pleased God. He is one of them. There's only two men in the Bible that don't see death. He was one of them. There's only two men in the Bible of whom it says he walked with God. He was one of them. Genesis chapter 5. You're in Genesis chapter 5. I also told you to get John chapter 3. Genesis chapter 5 verse 24 says, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, and God took him. The idea is God raptured him away, right? It translated him away that he should not see death. You know, people out there, even in the grace movement, teaches that Enoch was not translated into heaven. Okay? And that he did it on the basis of John chapter 3 verse 13. So you go there. John chapter 3 verse 13. You've heard that?
Yeah.
So here's what God says. Lord, no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. So Christ is saying, no man has ascended into heaven, but he that came down from heaven, that's me, Christ. So what's he saying right there? No man has ascended
up to heaven.
Okay. And they say that at this time no one has ascended in heaven, then Enoch could not have been translated into heaven. Right? You probably think about that. You're like, well, what they say is he is here one place and somebody's getting ready to kill him, and they take him over to another place, translate them another place so he didn't see death. And he wasn't found right then and there. These are some things that people say. God just moved him all the way over here on this other mountainside.
No record of his death.
But they don't read the text. What do you do with John 3:13? When you read that verse, you see that Jesus is saying no man ascended into what? Heaven. That is, no man stood on this earth and decided, I am going to go, and went up there. And Enoch didn't ascend to heaven. God took him. God took him to heaven. And he was translated. God picked him up and transported him there. And that's a different kind of thing if you think about it. He didn't ascend, he was taken. By the way, when you read about Jacob's ladder, what did they say the angels are doing?
Ascending and descending.
Where was Jacob at? In heaven, right? He was up there in heaven, laying on a rock, looking at a dream, and the angels was up there coming down and going back up. Right? Wrong. He's in Bethel, his head's on a rock, he's dreaming, and he's watching the angels ascend up and then down. So that should tell you something. Where's the authority of God going to be
on
this earth? And Shiloh, if you read the Bible about Shiloh, Shiloh was a governmental structure that Joshua set on and dispensed the tribes their stuff.
Could another explanation for that verse be that anybody that was taken before Christ died was taken to paradise, so they didn't go to heaven until after the death of Jesus Christ anyway?
Well, don't say that. It says took them up. But, you know, whether he took them to paradise or not, but other people say this, that heaven was on the mount. That's where Mount Sinai, that's heaven. That's where God was at. So even Elijah just went there, because Elijah was back down there telling him what to write. But God took him out of this earth. Okay, whether he went to paradise, yeah. So that was heaven, right? So the thing is, Christ is saying no man ascended. That is like in Acts chapter 1, just when he went, just went up his own. Who took Christ to heaven in Acts chapter 1 in his ascension? Nobody took him, right? He went on his own. Mm-hmm. So let's try that today. It ain't going to work. You know what I'm saying? So when God takes us out of here, he's going to transform us. And the point is this. Enoch was translated into heaven as you and I will be. And Moses and Elijah are in Revelation 11 and so forth and so on. God's going to take us. God's going to transport us. God took him so that he would not see death. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 51 says, "Behold, I show you a mystery." Now, who wrote the Corinthian letter? What dispensation are you in? So is that a prophesied program or a mystery program? So Paul's going to share something. "Behold, I'll show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but shall be changed." That's what that illustration is. We're going to be changed. And the comment on what Sherry was sharing is, where was paradise at that time before?
It was across the fixed gulf from hell.
It was in the earth, okay? And that's where everybody that died from Abraham up to this point over here, Paul, they went into Abraham's bosom. They knew something then. What did Abraham know? Abraham knows he's going to be resurrected in the promise of a nation and a land, and he's going to get resurrected over there. Don't matter how many years or time, he's going to get resurrected over there and live forever. When he took his son up there, Isaac said, "Where's the what?
Sacrifice."
And what did Abraham say?
God would provide himself.
So what was stuck in the bushes?
A ram.
Not a lamb. A ram. Behold, the lamb that sucked. Behold, what John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The ram was there. The lamb is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not four-foot lamb. But what I'm getting at is he knew that if I sacrifice my son, God's going to resurrect him, and I'm going to see him again. That's great. That's that Abrahamic promise of eternal life. And Abraham is our father by faith. We have the same faith Abraham has. We're not his descendants, okay? He's our father by faith. And I had a war with that for a long time. I'm like, "What? I'm a Gentile. What has Abraham got to do with me? What has David got to do with me?" But Abraham is a father of faith. Did he get saved in circumcision or uncircumcision?
Uncircumcision.
So when he got saved in uncircumcision, guess what that did? That gave me the understanding that I can be saved. So Genesis 5:25, "And Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech." Now, don't forget about Enoch walked with God, did he not? Mm-hmm. He walked the walk of faith. And he had a revelation from God about the long-suffering God waiting in the days of Noah. He had a revelation that he would miss the judgment himself. Personally delivered from God. Now fast forward it 2,000 years, 4,000 years. If you're saved today by the grace of God, that you and the gospel, the grace of God, and the gospel of Christ has saved you, are you going to see judgment? Are you going to be judged?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But what judgment will you be at?
The
okay, the Bema seat. Yeah, you'll be judged up there, not on this earth. And I used to believe that I'm going to be resurrected and go right to that white throne of judgment and be judged. You and I have a revelation from God about his long suffering today. God is not slack concerning his promises, but is long-suffering, not willing that anybody should perish. I had a thought about something, and I got to write that down, because these universalists that talks about God's going to save it, when it's all said and done, God don't want anybody to perish, so, you know, he's going to save you, even Satan. I forgot what that was, because it played in good with this. But anyway, Peter goes on and says in 2 Peter chapter 3, account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved Paul had written unto you. Paul was saying, hey, God is not slack. Paul is saying, Peter, James, John, who seem to be pillars, you do know that when Paul got saved, he didn't run right back to Jerusalem and say, look what God's doing. It took years. And when he finally met in Acts, I'll share this with you. If you take Acts 15 and Galatians chapter 2, they go hand in hand why they had a meeting. Acts chapter 15, there was some Judaizers saying, unless you're circumcised in the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. And Paul goes, what are you talking about? Well, we need to go to Jerusalem and talk with the big boys over here. And Galatians chapter 2 is very clear that he met with James and John, who seemed to be pillars. They was the leaders of that church. And when Paul, don't take my word for it, look at it right here, real quick. Galatians chapter 2. Romans. Galatians chapter 2. He said, then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me, also, I went up by revelation and communicated unto them the gospel that which I preached among the Gentiles, but probably to them that were reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be what? Now, Acts 15 talks about that, unless you're circumcised in the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. So what does circumcision tell you about? It ain't no difference. It's religion. But they didn't mind you being saved. You could trust Jesus Christ died for your sins, bear rose again. But you got to be circumcised. So what did they add it to that gospel? You can add it, yeah. And verse 4, and that because of false brethren were brought in who came probably to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. They're looking right there in that window, seeing what they're doing with Titus. Okay, they're going to circumcise them? Are they going to keep the law? To whom we gave place of subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might be continued with us. They didn't give them any time at all. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whosoever they are, make no matter to me, God accepts no man's person, that they should not, for they who seem to be somewhat in conference added everything in the world to me.
Nothing.
They added nothing to me. They're in conference, and Paul's probably sitting there like, waiting his time. You know, like, you added nothing to me. And I'm not going to boast. I don't want to feel proud. But there's a lot of people that I talk to that's in that circumcision gospel and in that kingdom gospel. And I sit and listen to them. They're not going to add nothing to me. And that's where you should be in your studies, because you know the truth, and you listen to him. And then he says, "But contrariwise, oh contrary, when they saw the gospel of the uncircumcision, who had that gospel? Was committed to me, Paul, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. There's two gospels right there. Right there in that verse. Like three baptisms in Matthew. Two gospels. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me towards the Gentiles. Now, if you got another Bible version, they changed this stuff. To change that Paul and Peter preached the same gospel. Then it says, verse 9, and when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave me, to me and Barnabas, the right hands of fellowship, that we should go to the heathen, and they unto the who? Now let me ask you something. At this time, was Paul saved?
Yeah.
At this time, who would Paul? Who was Paul going to?
Jews and Gentiles.
Yeah.
And what did James and Peter and them do? They gave them right hand of fellowship. Here's your right hand, and told them that we should go to the heathen, and they to the circumcision. So who would be the circumcision at this time?
A little flock. Jews. A little flock.
The saved Jews.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Not just any Jew. Saved Jews. So what did Peter, James, and John consider the ones outside of that little flock?
Heathens.
See? This goes along with there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. So that little flock is saved, circumcised people in the kingdom. You with me? If you did not believe that gospel, then you're a heathen. And that's who Paul went to. What did we talk about before? What was his manner? He went to the synagogues. He looked at them as heathens. Same as he looked at you and I, heathen. And he says, only they would, that they would, should remember the poor, the same which I would also was forward to do. So, getting back over here, where we're talking about the long suffering that Peter talked about, that Paul wrote to the Jews in Romans 9, 10, 11, the saved Jews, and don't be confused with that. I was listening to a guy, he's a big radio guy in the morning and stuff, and he says my mom was a Jewish, my dad was a Catholic, but his mom and dad was Jewish. So he had the best of both worlds, what he said. But he's talking about Judaism. He says it's just not a religion, it's a culture. Well, I did not hear them say about a Hebrew. See, you're born a Hebrew. Any one of us can become a Jew. And how you do that?
Go to the Jews.
You become circumcised. You go under, you become a...
You follow all their ordinances.
You become a proselyte. And you had the same, what do you say, benefits. And that's what God's program back over here, program was, anybody in time past could be saved. And know God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But you had to go up under Israel's umbrella and become a Jew. That's the religion. And I don't hear a lot of people talking about that. Or a Hebrew. But you're born a Hebrew. You and I are not.
Right. A Hebrew
is
a bloodline.
Yeah, it's a nationality. Yes. So the long suffering is there, and Peter, when he tries to explain the delay of Christ coming back to judge and reign, told those circumcised believers the explanation of Paul's long suffering. Why would Peter write over here, and Peter, James, Cephas, and John, Cephas is Peter's name, how's your books laid out? Hebrews, then what? What's after Book of Hebrews?
James.
James. And then what's after James?
Peter.
Peter. And then after what that?
John.
And then after what is that?
Revelation.
Missing one.
Jude.
Oh, Jude. And then what after that?
Revelation.
Okay. You have 9 epistles over here, if I'm not mistaken, written to the Israelites over here. So he's explaining to them, hey, God's long suffering. Why? Because what Paul's told us to, what's going on. So what if you was a circumcised saint, you start understanding that God is not slack. He's still promising us over here. We just got to buy our time. He's going to rest. So it's interesting that the dispensation of grace has lasted longer than any other dispensation in it. And why? We have a promise of getting out ahead too, don't we? We have a promise that he's going to catch us out of here. We ought to walk the walk of faith, walk with God, and with the same kind of witness for God that Enoch had. I fell miserable like that, to be honest with you. But we can walk the same walk of faith. That's if somebody takes your faith away, you ain't got nothing. You know that? And these religions and these world powers and stuff will take your faith away from you. Genesis chapter 5, verse 27. We'll move on a little bit more. And all the days of Methuselah was 969 years, and he died. Verse 28. And Lamech lived 108 years and begot a son. And he called his name Noah, saying, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of hands because of the ground which the Lord had what?
Cursed.
You know, I keep reading that, and I'm thinking, he's going to comfort us. Noah's going to have a message about the curse, about work. What was the curse on Adam when he got kicked out of the garden? He's going to work the ground. Mm-hmm. He's going to have the brow is going to be sweating. He's going to have to earn his keep in this earth and work and toy with his hand because the ground is cursed. Wonder what kind of message Noah had about the comforting. He shall comfort us. And Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years and begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Lamech was 777 years, and he died. The chapter ends with Lamech at age what?
770.
What's the number 7?
777.
Perfection.
It's perfection. 6 generations of death, and the guy goes out before the judgment. Noah and his family are preserved through the flood. And here is a guy 777 years old ending up in the line. How many days a year were they?
365.
Verse 32. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem and Ham and Japheth. I like to end there. Because next lesson we're going to pick up and just recap 4, 5, and 6 a little bit. But the thing about long-suffering, though, and the thing about Methuselah, should be very, very fascinating to you that God gave Enoch a revelation. Now, what is the revelation of the mystery today? Do you have a timeline that God's going to take you out of here? Do you have an hour on your clock at 10:51? At 10:55, God's going to take us out of here?
No,
you know, people do that and wrote books and made movies and made millions, and some of them still here. And somebody's still going to buy their books. I shared this with you a long time ago, that one guy, big radio guy out there in California, and he had radio station, Family Hour or something like that. And he prophesied on May the 20-something that the rapture is going to happen. And my son and two other people was at a ball game in Cleveland, Ohio. They was playing Cincinnati Reds. And he said, 6 o'clock, it's what, at the end of 6 o'clock, it's going to happen. You know, before 6 o'clock, clouds started coming in. Big white clouds. And coming over at stadium, and my son looked at me and said, look, Dad. You know, because that's what people was talking about, right? 6:05 came. One guy stood up. We're still here. We're still here. And it bothered me. Because was he mocking the guy? Or was he mocking God? You know? He was mocking God because of that. I mean, the guy. But he's also mocking God because people believe God, thinking God's saying that stuff.
Maybe he was just...
But I'm just saying, you know, to me as a Christian, I would not stand up and say that. I would say, you know, not we're still here, but I was telling my son, I goes, he shall ascend from a cloud. You know, I was just going along with the verses. But what would I be fearful of? If he takes us out here, that's the greatest thing on earth right now. Mm-hmm. You know, the turmoil going on, the you know, things you're going through. You know, death's coming, that type of thing. I don't know how it for you feel. I much feel rather be taken out alive than taking that dirt bath.
Everybody wants to go to heaven. Nobody wants to die.
No, that's it. But the thing is, people will don't understand the long suffering, mm-hmm. and don't understand the mystery program. So if you can understand where you're at, you know, I think Howard, what he said last week about knowing your Bible and knowing, he says it fascinates how much you can know. And you know what's helped me more than anything? Going on today, I know what's not. You see where I'm pointing? Time passing, ages to come. I know it's not that today. We live in a dispensation of grace.
Amen.
And it was not prophesied. It was made known to Paul, only to Paul. It was kept secret before the world began, people. Prophecy is made known since the world. Mystery is kept secret before the world began. Two totally different things. I made a comment on Facebook about what saith the scriptures. No, when Philip met that eunuch and he asked... understandest thou what thou readest? Mm-hmm. Right? And I said, people should know what they're reading because this is sixth grade English. And a dear brother, sister, he said, you know, I think I used to believe that, but today what they're teaching the kids, I don't think they could read sixth grade English. I'm like, ooh, I better, you know, hand up somebody a Bible. But the these and thous mess you up. But I guess the gist of this is God is suffering long today. And that should not give us slackness. When we talk to people, just find out where they're at. I'll share this all with you all the time. Just, where are you? You know, what do you know? You know, are you curious about where you're going to spend eternity? Chances are people's going to say no. Well, let me share something. Just let me share this with you and I'll leave you alone. That type of thing. God created heaven and earth. God's will is not to have all men to perish, but to come to everlasting life. God's got a plan that he don't want you to die the second death. And that Christ died for your sins, buried, and rose again. You trust that and believe that, and then you get in the book. But Genesis is so boring. Exodus is so long. Numbers, I fall asleep. You see, you're like, read Paul's epistles. Read the books that are to you, and then you can understand what God is doing. And like I said, all this other stuff will fall into place. When you know what it's not, That's going to help you out more than anything else that you could ever do. And that takes care of religion. That takes care of denomination. That takes care of salvation. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for things given. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.